I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear is gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. I recently saw Denis Villeneuve's Dune, and I thought it was great in many ways. The music was phenomenal, the sounds were amazing. Not just the score, but also the voices of some of the characters. The chanting, it was all so inventive, pulls you into another way of thinking. The sound aspect was a huge part of this movie's greatness. The acting was also fantastic, and the general look and mood of the film was amazing. However, I did have trouble understanding everything that was happening. I found it difficult to relate to the characters sometimes, and all the names and places of the world which was unfolding in front of me. Afterwards, I wanted to research and find descriptions and analysis of the story which would help me clarify some of the things that had happened. I want to read you a couple of excerpts from an article in The Guardian back in 2015 by Hari Kunzru, titled Dune, 50 Years On, How a Science Fiction Novel Changed the World. In 1959, if you were walking the sand dunes near Florence, Oregon, you might have encountered a burly, bearded extrovert striding about in Ray-Ban aviators and practical army surplus clothing. Frank Herbert, a freelance writer with a feeling for ecology, was researching a magazine story about a U.S. Department of Agriculture program to stabilize the shifting sands by introducing European beach grass. Pushed by strong winds off the Pacific, the dunes moved eastwards, burying everything in their path. Herbert hired a Cessna light aircraft to survey the scene from the air. Quote, "These waves of sand can be every bit as devastating as a tidal wave. They've even caused deaths," he wrote in a pitch to his agent. Above all, he was intrigued by the idea that it might be possible to engineer an ecosystem to green a hostile desert landscape. Soon, Herbert's research into dunes became research into deserts and desert cultures. Herbert was no friend of big government. He had also taken peyote and read Jung. In 1960, a sailing buddy introduced him to the Zen thinker Alan Watts, who was living on a houseboat in Sausalito. Long conversations with Watts, the main conduit by which Zen was permeating the West Coast counterculture, helped turn Herbert's pacey adventure story into an exploration of temporality, the limits of personal identity, and the mind's relationship to the body. Every fantasy reflects the time and place that produced it. If The Lord of the Rings is about the rise of fascism and the trauma of the Second World War, and Game of Thrones, with its cynical realpolitik and the cast of precarious entrepreneurial characters, is a fairy tale of neoliberalism, then Dune is a paradigmatic fantasy of the Age of Aquarius. Its concerns, environmental stress, human potential, altered states of consciousness, and the developing countries' revolution against imperialism are blended together into an era-defining vision of personal and cosmic transformation. Another interesting thing I found was the connection between Dune and Star Wars, another thing that Kunzru wrote about, saying, "Actually, the great Dune film did get made. Its name is Star Wars." In early drafts, this story of a desert planet, an evil emperor, and a boy with a galactic destiny also included warring noble houses and a princess guarding a shipment of something called Aura Spice. All manner of borrowings from Dune litter the Star Wars universe, from the Ben Gesent-like mental powers of the Jedi to the mining and the moisture farming of Tatooine. Now keep in mind, this article is from 2015, 6 years before Villeneuve's epic adaptation starring Timothy Chalamet. As of now, I have to admit I loved Dune, but I'm not entirely sure why. I think in time any challenges or inabilities to connect with certain aspects of it will probably fill themselves in naturally from multiple viewings. This happens to me a lot with film. I'll be attracted to a movie, but it takes many viewings before some of the other beautiful aspects reveal themselves to me, or before I'm open or aware enough to find those things I hadn't caught before. But one thing I will say about this film is that I love the courage. We don't often see blockbusters present themselves with art house type characteristics. Quite often what we get is a tired template which presupposes what audiences want. How do we develop culture with that habit? How do we redevelop culture with a new habit? How do we find the courage found in this film and apply it to some more aspects of our movie experiences. This courage is lacking in so many areas of our culture in general. We need more of it everywhere.